Today she is Masech Nida Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin in Daf Tez Zayin Amar Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amid. It says the Gemara Amar of Shirin Ben Yechoy, Arba Dvorim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonam. There are four things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, V'ani Eini Ahavim, and I also don't like them. So all the Mepharshim discuss this language of the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates them and I don't like them. What does that mean? So one pshat that I saw is that what he was saying was, you know, we all think that we know how to think. But what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that a Jew is supposed to think the way the Torah wants us to think. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates something, then I don't like it either. You know why ani oinei havan? You know why I don't like it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu oinam. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like it, then I don't like it. Another pshat that I saw, the Masha says this pshat, we know that the Aveira of Leisisnas Achicha B'Lvavcha, to hate another Jew, is a very serious Aveira. Actually, what we're really supposed to do is love every other Jew. So Rav Shimon Yochai is saying that even though the people who do the actions that we're about to learn are not liked by Hashem, I can never bring myself to hate a Jew. Ain't I haven't. I won't love that Jew, but I won't hate ever a Jew. Another pshat that I saw is that he's saying that because people don't act the way they're supposed to act, that causes us not just to dislike what they do, but a person is defined by his actions. And if his actions are inappropriate, then ani eino yahavan. What are they? Hanichnas lebeis soipisam, somebody, we spoke about this at the end of the shiur yesterday, he enters his home suddenly, and certainly if he goes into someone's home without prior notice knocking. So a very nice pshat. Because the Mepharshim say the Gemara should have really said just the opposite. He should have said, certainly you don't go into someone else's house without knocking. The Gemara should say is, don't go into someone else's house. And also even to your own house. Why does the Gemara say it in this order? So the Mepharshim say what the Gemara say means a different pshat. The Gemara is saying is it's talking about making a decision. You shouldn't be so quick to make a decision without consulting. Even if the decision just affects your family, don't make the decision without consulting with your family. Certainly if your decision, what you're going to do affects other people, you have to get their input. We spoke about this at the beginning of the parak, about how a person urinates and hold what he's not allowed to hold. And someone who urinates without any clothing in front of his bed. So the Mepharshim explain why is this an issue. So Pashat is because there's a lack of tznius here. And there's supposed to be tznius in a Jewish home. Tosfos says that someone who does this brings upon himself poverty. So certainly that's not something we want to do. But Meshamish b'tosav b'fnei kol chai. And somebody has relations with his wife in front of any living thing. Does that mean even if there are mice in the house, you can't have relations with your wife in that room? So he responded, we know Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas is called Shinana Loi. That's not what I meant. Ella, what I meant was Shabes Ploini. I meant what they used to do in that house, Shemeshashmet to Seim, that they would have marital relations Bifnei Avdeim Shivchasayim, that they would do it in front of their Avodim and Shivchas Knanim. Ask the Gemara, Vinu Maidarsh, what was their thinking that they acted this way? Answers the Gemara, because they remembered the Pasuk in Chumash by the Akedah, where Avram Avinu says to Eliezer and Yishmael, Shvulachem Poyim Chamor, Am Hadayim L'Chamor, that they're compared to Chamorim. And as the Malbim explains, the Torah should have said, Shvulachem Poyim Esachamar. Why does the Torah use the word imachamar to teach us this lesson of amadoim l'chamar? So Mepharshim make a very interesting observation. Who are we speaking about in that pasuk? We're speaking about Yishmael. We're speaking about Eliezer. Yishmael was Avram Avinu's son. He wasn't even a guy. Eliezer was indeed a Kanani, but what does the Torah say about Eliezer? The Messic Eliezer, and we all remember Rashi says, Doilu Mashke Vitairis Rabbi. And some in fact say it only means Eliezer, because Yishmael was a Jew. His mother Hagar was Megayer. But I saw a beautiful pshat from Cheskel Levenstein. He says, what the Gemara is teaching us is a tremendous lesson. What happened? They came not far from Hamaria, and Avraham Avinu, Rashi says this in Chumash, asked them, look, do you see something? Yitzchak saw, Avraham saw, they were like the donkey. Just like the donkey didn't see, they didn't see. So it's not a question, are they Jewish, are they not Jewish? It's a question of a level. They didn't have the vision. They didn't have the vision of the Shekhinah. Somebody who doesn't have the vision of the Shekhinah is not on the Madrega of Klal Yisrael who has that vision. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Bar Afuna, Mekarkish Zuga de Kalsa. He would ring a bell before he had relations with his wife, so to speak, to signal that everyone should leave. So all the Mefarshim obviously asked the question. Tysus asked the question. That's the biggest lack of tznius, to announce that that's what this couple is about to do. So there are a number of terutzim to this question. One terutz is that he didn't tell them why he's ringing a bell. He just said, I'm ringing a bell because I want privacy, but he wasn't indicating why he wanted the privacy. Another pshat is that he wasn't trying to chase away people. People, he obviously was careful to do it in a time where there was no issue with people. He was trying to chase away any other animals that might have been there, that they shouldn't be there, as we just learned and will learn, should not be present when a couple has relations. There's an interesting drisha. We're going to learn it in today's shir, in fact, that the oin of a Talmud Chochem is Friday night. So ask the drisha, how could it ring a bell Friday night? Chil Shabbos. So one teretz that they say is that that's not the only time the couple has relations, when she goes to the mikveh, when he comes home or goes on a trip. So that's what the Gemara means. The Drisha wants to say, I'm not saying this laloch lemaisa, he wants to say a chiddush, since the entire purpose was just to get privacy, he wasn't interested in the noise, it doesn't mean it's not considered chil Shabbos ringing a bell. It's a big chiddush. Rabbi Abaya Bali Didvi. What Abaya would do is that he would even chase away the flies. Again, the way most Mepharshim learn is every Amira here was even more machmer than Amira before, how much privacy he wanted. Rava Bali Pruchi. He would even chase away the ants that shouldn't be there when they had relations. Begins the Gemara. Amar B'Shim Ben Yoichi. Hein Dvarim, Hein Sha'oisa Oison. There are five acts that we're about to discuss. The Oisa Oison, whoever acts this way, Mishai B'Nafshoi V'Dama B'Roishoi. He carries responsibility. So the Rishonim already ask, what's pshat in this double lotion? B'Shai B'Nafshoi V'Dama B'Roishoi. The point is that he's causing himself damage. Why does the Gemara have to use both of these wordings? So one pshat that I saw is that let's say someone, Chas V'Shalom, commits suicide. So if he commits suicide, number one, he's not alive anymore. And number two, he's going to have to give Din V'Cheshbin why he committed suicide. You're not allowed to commit suicide. That's what the Gemara is saying. If somebody does this, A, Mischai B'Nafshai, he's going to cause himself harm. And Dama B'Roishai, he's going to have to give Din V'Cheshbin why did he do it. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn, some of these acts not only necessarily cause damage to the perpetrator, but it could cause damage even to others. So what the Gemara means here is Mischai B'Nafshoi, that he's responsible for what he does to himself, but Dama B'Roshi is also responsible for the damage he's done to others. Hoichel Shum Kalof, somebody eats garlic that's peeled. Each one of these issues will be discussed in the Gemara. Ubatzl Kalof, or a onion that was peeled and left overnight. Ubei Klufa, or egg that was peeled and left overnight. If there were drinks that were diluted and were left overnight, this has nothing to do with gilui, we're leaving something exposed. Somebody who sleeps in a cemetery, or somebody cuts his nails, and throws the nails into Rishus Rabim, and make his dam, somebody lets blood him shamish mitasa. So there's a very big discussion amongst the Paiskim if these issues apply Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, do not quote this. Other Rishonim, the Torah, does quote it. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, as well, takes a very serious perspective to these things. These are all a question of sakana. On the other hand, I saw from the Chazon Ish that certainly takes a more lenient approach. He says, let's say you had an onion that was left overnight or an egg that was left overnight. He says, if you throw it out because you're worried about this Gemara, it may be a question about Tashchis. The Dak Tshuva also has a discussion if there's bittel on these things. Let's say you have some of this onion or some of this garlic and you put it into a mixture and it's bottled. Do we say bittel? Some Paiskim say that bittel applies. Certainly, Bizman Azeh, where there are Paiskim that are in general more lenient. Others say, no, Chamir Sakantim Yisura. So by Isser we say bittel. This is not Isser, this is Sakana. The reason that the Paiskim who are more lenient, what is the basis for their opinion? The basis for their opinion is because the Ruach Ra that's caused by these different foods no longer exists. Another approach that the Paiskim can take is the pasuk of Shomer Psoim Hashem. Since so many people have become accustomed not to be careful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us. Other Paiskim take a much stricter opinion. There's a tshuva, more than one tshuva, from the Klos Magareb and the Shalos Tshuvas to Reyatsev. He says, we see, Rachmana Litzlan, so many diseases and different problems that people have nowadays that never existed before. And he suggests it may be because people aren't careful with these different things. So the first group was Shum Kalev, a peeled garlic or a peeled onion or a peeled egg that was left overnight. So there are a number of issues to discuss. One issue, heterim. One is, because it's very common to have liquid eggs that are left for a long time nowadays. So one of the terms that the Paiskim say is that if there's any other ingredient besides just the egg or the garlic or the onion, it's fine. So you put in some salt or you put in some preservative, you're fine. Another heter, Ramesh discusses these two heterim. One is if you have onion powder or garlic powder, that's not what the Gemara is referring to. He's talking about an onion or a garlic, not when it's been turned into a powder. Ramesh also has another heter. Ramesh says that if that's the way this food is processed, onions are made nowadays into onion powder, and garlic is made nowadays into garlic powder, that isn't considered what the Gemara means. Furthermore, even the Klaus Magareb in that tshuva, when we say here, left overnight, says, what does it mean overnight? It means that the entire night. So let's say someone's preparing onions in the middle of the night, so it wasn't left overnight, that wouldn't be a problem. There's a very interesting thought that I saw from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. In many communities, there's a minig, Shabbos by lunch, to eat a food of egg and onions. Where does that come from? You know, what's the basis for that? So he says a beautiful pshat based on this Gemara. He says, we know that the food that we eat on Shabbos has to be prepared specially for Shabbos and has to be particularly geschmack. So if we look at the ingredients of this food, it's egg and onions. So they're both ingredients that could not have been left overnight. So when could they have been prepared? They could only be prepared Shabbos morning. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem. So therefore, we want the food of Shabbos to be prepared fresh. So this is a food that's prepared fresh. Says the Gemara, Vafagad demancha besalta, this Isra applies even if they're put into a basket, umetzayir v'chsimi, even if the basket is sealed. And normally, throughout halacha, on a sealed basket, a ruach ra does not have any ability. Here, ruach ra, shara aleim, the ruach ra does have ability. Furthermore, v'le'amaran el d'lashay bar ikrin aklipasim. If you left the hairy part of the onion still connected, there's no problem. Or the peel. Av l'shay bar ikrin aklipasim, if you left that part, less limba. And there too, the Klaus Magrebe says in the tshuva, you don't have to leave the entire peel. Even if you left just a drop of the peel, and he even says more than that, he says, let's say you grated the onion. You take a little piece of peel, it may not be that tasty, and throw it into that grated onion, you're fine. V'ashay samashka mezugin, shavar aleim halayla. Or you drink liquid that's left overnight. Amri Yudah Mishmul, but it's only a problem It's only a problem if it was left in a metal container. So I saw that Rav Ozdin, the Shevet HaLevi, says that none of our containers are considered metal containers. Because in those days, when they had a metal container, there was no coating on the metal. Nowadays, when you make any cup or anything out of any material, they coat it. And the coating changes the halacha. Amar Papa, the Kli Neser, if it's a ceramic keli, Kli Matchas Tami. It's considered like a Kli Matchas. The Ken Amar Rav Yochanan, Vushalon, the Kli Matchas, the Kli Neser, Kli Matchas Tami. Where is this very relevant? I saw that the Paiskim discuss by the Seder, we poured a big cup, the Kosh Eliyahu. And now, what are you going to do with it? You have the cup. Eliyahu doesn't drink up the whole cup. So, some people have a minute that they put the cup into the refrigerator with the wine or grape juice in it, and they use it for Kiddush on the first day of Pesach. But now you have a problem that was left overnight. So if we take Rav Ozdin's approach, it's not a problem with our cups. Others say that the Gemara said it only applies by mezugin. Our dilution is not the same formula that we find throughout Shas for meziga, so it doesn't apply to our beverages. Balomba Basak Forest, the next thing that was mentioned was somebody who sleeps in a cemetery, Kadesha Tishra Lav Ruach Tumah, because by sleeping in a cemetery, the Ruach Tumah may come on him, and Zimna Misaknalay, it could be a real dangerous situation. So Mefarshim asks, that there's a lav in the Torah of Dairu Shalom Esim. And Dairu Shalom Esim, the Gemara says, is going to a cemetery to try to get a Ruach Ra. So why is this something just mentioned by Rav Shimon Yochai? It's a pasuk in the Torah. So the Parishkim answer that Alam Bebeis HaKfaris means that Dairu Shalom Esim, means that he has to also do something. The Gemara says that he doesn't eat. Marav Atzmai. He doesn't eat and then goes to the cemetery. That's called Dairu Shalom Esim. He was speaking about a person that just goes to sleep in a cemetery, also not to be done. And somebody who cuts his nails and throws those nails in the Shus Rabin. Why is that bad? Says the Gemara, Ishim Uberes Iveres Aleim, because a pregnant woman may pass those nails, Umapalas, and that could cause her to miscarry. So all the Mepharshim try to understand, why do nails put on the floor cause a woman to miscarry? So the simple pshat is because they're really not nice. And a woman, when she's pregnant and so sensitive, that could cause a chas v'shalom to miscarry. Another pshat that I saw is that we all know that originally, the pasuk says, the Medrash says, that when Adam and Chava were created, their entire body was covered with a coat of the material that nails were made out of. Then, after the Aveira, we got clothing, and nails were left on our fingernails and on our feet. So who was most connected to fingernails? Who caused that entire episode? Chava. That's why women are most sensitive. Then I saw another pshat. Very interesting pshat. And it also answers a question that I always had. The minig is that when we make a Bari Mara Eish, Matzah Shabbos, by Havdalah, we look at our fingernails. Why? Why do we look at our fingernails? Yes, we want to have benefit from the candle. But why is that the specific benefit? We should look at a sefer. Why the fingernails? So the answer is because the one part of our body that continues to grow is the fingernails. They continue to grow all the time. So as we begin the new week, we give ourselves, so to speak, a bracha that we should have pruvu, that we should be successful and multiply as the new week begins. So we see that fingernails are connected to pruvu, to multiplication. So this woman who's pregnant is also in that category. However, says the Gemara, V'loy Maran El Deshok the David the Yodav the Kari. When is this a problem? If he cuts the nails of his hands and his feet. Furthermore, at the same time. Furthermore, and that's why many people have the minig not to cut on the same day the fingernails of the hands and the feet. Furthermore, V'loy Amar El Deloy Goz Midi Basrayu. If he doesn't immediately cut something else after he cuts those nails. Av Goz Midi Basrayu. If he cuts something immediately afterwards, less lumba, then there's no problem. However, says the Gemara, that's not true. V'loy L'Kulam Eschashinan. One should not cut his fingernails and have the nails drop in a public place. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Gimel Dvarim Nem Pranayim, there were three things that were said regarding the nails. Sofen, the person who burns them is a chassid. Kaivron, the person who buries them is a tzaddik. Zarkan, someone who just throws them out, is a rasha. So Pash Pshan in the Gemara, why is it that way? Because if you bury the fingernails, they can get exposed. If you burn them, then they can never get exposed. That's the most preferable thing to do. And if that's Pshat, say the Paiskim, so the Ber Moshe, the Betzel Chachma discussed this. So then, nowadays, we have a much simpler solution. Just throw it down the toilet. They can't come back that way. But Taisva says a very powerful word. He says, why is Sarfan a Chassid? So Taisva says, the fact is that if somebody burns his fingernails, it causes him to be weak, it causes him to be sick. So here you have a person who cut his fingernails. And instead of being worried about himself, he goes and he burns them, even though it may cause him harm. That's a chassid. There's a letter written by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Somebody wrote to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he asked him, tell me, what does it mean to be a chassid? So Lubavitcher Rebbe quotes the Baal HaTanya. He says, the Gemara Taisus tells us what the definition of a chassid. The definition of a chassid is somebody who's willing to do something that may harm himself, but just to do a favor for another Jew. That's the definition of a chassid. V'mekes dam u'mishamish mitosoy. Dam mar, mekes dam u'mishamish mitosoy. If somebody does tashmish after a chassid's dam, havelei bonen v'skin. He'll have weak children. Hikizu shneim v'shamshu. If both the husband and wife had a chassid's dam and then had relations, havelei Bali Banim Bali Rasan, they'll have children that have this disease. Rav Chisda Amar Rav Chisda Osla L'Adam Shishamish Mitasa B'Yoyim. Before we go further, the Paiskim do say, however, that bloodletting is not what we consider donating blood. Donating blood is not a Kazus Adam. Kazus Adam is an entire procedure which is not giving blood. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav V'Loy Maran El V'Loy Tamidi. If you didn't eat something, Av Tamidi Leslam Ba. If he ate between that causes of dam and the tashmish. So we go back to what we began with in the end of yesterday's shir, actually, a number of times in yesterday's shir. Amar chizda osla l'adam shishamish mitasa b'yoyim. A person may not have relations with his wife by day. Shnemar v'haftu l'reacha k'moicha. My mashma, says the Gemara Amar Abaye, shema yira b'adava megunah. V'tizgan olav. Somebody may see, if it's by daylight, he may see something that will turn his wife off from him. And the Mefarshim point out, we spoke about this in yesterday's shiur, we quoted Aruch Lener. We've learned a number of different explanations why one shouldn't do Tashmish B'yoyim. What is the nafkamina with this pshat? If the whole issue is v'haft l'reach k'moicha, if that's the entire issue, so what happens if one's wife is Michael? She says, I'm not worried about it, then it shouldn't be a problem. Furthermore, I saw the Mefarshim say, you know, we all know, v'haft l'recha k'maicha, amr b'kiva zeh klal gadol b'tayra, we know the words of Beis Hillel. Say the Mefarshim, you know, we're all thinking about another Jew, v'haft l'recha k'maicha. V'haft l'recha k'maicha, our Gemara teaches us, begins at home, with your wife. Says the Gemara, amr avhuna, Yisrael k'doshim heim, v'im misham shmitasein b'yayim. Yisrael elim, amakman atzniyis, and they don't have relations by day. Amar Rava, v'mhoi beis ofel, but if the house is dark, mutter. V'tam chacham, ma'apa b'talus b'ksusa m'shamish. V'tam chacham should cover up, and then he could have tashmish by day. So all the mefarshim asked the obvious question. Usually, talmid chachamim are more strict. Here the Gemara seems to be saying like this. Everyone else don't do it by day. A Talmud Chacham may. How do we understand this? So the Pashpashat in the Gemara is, everyone else we're concerned won't follow the rules. A Talmud Chacham has Yerushmaim, he's going to be careful to be Ma'apel B'tal Yisrael. Most Rishonim say, even a Talmud Chacham, L'chatchila shouldn't do it. But then I saw two other very nice Pashatim. One of Pashat is as follows. A Talmud Chacham is always busy learning, preparing a Shia, saying a Shia, getting ready, going to a Shia. So his time is highly limited. So maybe he doesn't have time by night. That's why they were lenient with Talmud Chacham. Then I saw a third pshat. As we discussed, I think, in yesterday's shiur, when someone has relations, he becomes a balkari. And a balkari, even if he goes to the mikveh, is not yet tar until he has Harav Shemesh. So what happens if a Talmud Chacham has Tashmish by night? So he'll go to the mikveh right afterwards. He's still not tar. He has to wait all day until he has Harav Shemesh. But a Talmud Chacham doesn't want to be tummy. So that's why Chazal allowed him to do Tashmish right in the afternoon, go to the mikveh right afterwards, have Harav Shemesh, and he won't be in a state of tumah for any extended period of time. Ask the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, the way we explained, that according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, a person is supposed to do a bedikah both before and after every biyah. And the Mishnah says, so what happens if a person doesn't have enough cloth? So the Mishnah says, Tanan, so then, you can reuse the same cloth by doing tashmish by candlelight. How can you do by candlelight? They were learning that you're not supposed to do tashmish in the light. And it says, Gemara, that's not what the Mishnah meant. Aim a tivdik lar in there. It means not doing the tashmish, doing the examination. Tashma, says the Gemara, apish amrav shamish mitosul ar in there, hareza maguna. So here it says that you're allowed to do is just maguna. Again, says the Gemara, Ema haboidik mitosla araner hareza maguna. Why is a maguna to be boidik araner? As we're going to learn, because checking the cloth, candlelight, is not such a good examination. The proper way that it should be examined is by sunlight. Toshma, the shebeis bunza hamelech, says the Braisa, mumbas hamelech tupshotim. Either he was from the family of the Chashmonaim, others say he was a goy. They were Megayer. Hayoyse Gimel Tvarim, they did three things, Maskirin HaYosel Shvach, for which they're praised. Hay Mishamsh Mitaseim B'yoyim, Ubaitkim Mitaseim B'mila Pahava, they used to use cotton as the cloth for Bedika, V'naygim Tumatar B'shlogim, and they treated snow, the halachs of Tumataran. The Gemara will explain each one of these points. But ask the Gemara on the first point, that they had relations by day, and he was saying that you're not supposed to do that. Answers the Gemara, they did the bedikah by day, and which we just said is preferable. Says the Gemara, and that's what makes sense. Because, says the Gemara, if we could understand it, that they had relations by day, even if we'll say that they held you allowed to have tashmish by day, it isn't something that you get praised for. So how do we understand it? Answer the Gemara, that isn't a question. Because enechanami, da'agav de'ike oineshina megna ba'ape. If you hold, says the Gemara, if they held, that one may have relations by day, not only may they have relations by day, but it actually may be preferable. Why? Because the halacha is, Gemara discusses this in Sechet in the Dorim, that one shouldn't have relations with his wife under duress. So at night, he's maybe tired, she's tired, and they're doing it because they're obligated to do it, which is not the right way. By day, when they're doing it, they're rested, and that's why it's not a problem. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Baitkim mitisayim b'mela pahava, they used to check the cloth with cotton, b'saylei l'shmul. Dom l'shmul, ein baitkim samitka, either use cotton or soft, clean wool. Now I understand, he says something. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, he was from Bavel, but he said, when I visited Eretz Yisrael, I saw a very interesting thing. That on Friday afternoon, there would be peddlers that would say, "Have ami man boy pekuli benahama. Who wants cotton with his bread?" My comrade, I didn't understand. But now I understand. Because as we said earlier in our shiur today, the time for beer of Talmid Chacham was Friday night. And we're also learning, and we also know that the Pasuk sometimes uses the word lechem to refer to beer. Kiem alechem ashu eichel. So he's saying was, the peddlers would sell Friday afternoon cotton, pieces of cotton material that they should have to do the bedika on the tashmish, after the tashmish of Friday night. Amrava, hani shachki de kitna, these worn out pieces of linen, mali libdika. are good to be used as an examination cloth. Ask the Gemara any Vatani the Baymanasha, any Bait Knesset Mita, you shouldn't use Loi Beit Edom, Loi Beit Shachan, not red or black, because you won't be able to see the stain, Loi Beit Pishtan, nor linen, El Beit Kulan, or Beit Samanaki Virach, only cotton or soft, clean wool. So how do we say that they use linen? Answer the Gemara, Loi Kasha, Hava Kitna, Hava Mani Kitna. There's a difference if it's cotton or it's material or it's pieces of woven cotton. Woven linen is a problem. Otherwise, I mean, woven linen is fine. Plain linen is coarse. Bibai Seima, Hava Hava Mani the Kitna, Hava Chariti, Hava Shaki. It makes a difference if it's new or it's old. I saw two pshatim. What's the difference if it's new or it's old? If it's old, new should not be used, old should be used. Why? Because if it's old, it's been washed many times, and the washing process made it whiter, and the whiter it is, the more usable it is to see if there's a stain on it. Another pshat is the more that it was washed, it gets softer, and it's preferable to use a soft material. The third thing the Mar mentioned that the Beis Munzbas HaMelech was praised for was Nagin Tum V'Tar B'Shlogim. They followed Hilchas Tum V'Tahara on snow. What does this mean? Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Shalig En Eloi Oichav Eloi Mashka. Plain snow that one had no machshav about is not considered not a food nor a beverage. Chishlov L'Achila, if you decided that you're going to treat snow as a food, En Ematam Tumas Oichlan. It's still not subject to Tumas Oichlan. The mashkin, but if you decided to use snow as a mashka, the tamatumas mashkin, it is considered a mashka. So a few points. So now we understand the chumrah mumbas hamelech. Because what was their chumrah? Even though that they had no intention of treating their snow as a beverage, they treated it that it's subject to tumas mashka anyway. One, what is the difference between tumas oichlan and tumas mashkin? There are two primary nafkaminas to Rishonim point out. One nafkamin is the shear. The shear tumah of oichel is a beya. The shear tumah of a mashka is a revius. And the other nafkamin is that a food has no way of making it tar. A food can become tameh, but you can't put a food into the mikvah. A oichel, a mashka, you can be matar, not through tefillah. There's no tefillah in a mashka, but there's something known as hashaka. If the liquid comes in contact with the mikvah, it's considered hashaka, zriya. I don't have time for hilchos mikvahs today. And that puts it back into its original state. Continues the Gemara in speaking about our snow that became tamei. We wanted to use it as a mashka and it becomes tamei. Says the Gemara, nitma mektsasai, loy nitma kula. If just part of the snow became tamei, it doesn't affect the entire pile of snow. However, nitma mektsasai, if just part of the snow became tamei, tar, nitma kula, if you did hashaka, even on part of the snow, all of it is fine. Ask the Marhagu for Kasha. Let's understand what the Gemara just said. That means that every part, every snowflake is considered separately. Vahadatani, nita mektsasa, nita kula. That is considered one big pile. Lememra, the nita kula. Doesn't that indicate that part of the snow became tamei, the rest of the snow? And as the Rishonim explained, because we can't say that if just one snowflake becomes tamei, it becomes tamei by touching the next snowflake for two reasons. First of all, that's a tumas beis storm. It's not visible. And furthermore, it'll keep on going down in degrees. Let's say the first snowflake is a rishon, then the second snowflake is a sheni, it can't go any further. So how does it come that the entire, if each snowflake is, again, asking the Gemara, is viewed independently, how does it become entirely tamei? Answers the Gemara, Kigoyin Shavira al Avi Tanur. You had a ceramic, you had an earthenware tanner. That Tari Ida Klicheris. The Tari says regarding Klicheris, a filum mole chardel, that even it's full of mustard, and every seed, again, is separate. But if there was a, the way Rishonim explained, if there was a sheretz in the interior of this tanner, that makes the entire tanner tamei to the degree, explained the Rishonim, that even if the sheretz is not in that tanner anymore, it's still tamei, and anything that passes over that tanner will become tamei. So what happened here is, you had a tanner that had in it a sheretz, tanner made out of klicheres, this pile of snow was transported over, this pile of snow was transported over this tanner, and that's why the entire pile, because it was exposed to that tumah, became tumah. The Rishonim actually say, the Gemara could have given a different answer. The Rishonim say that the Gemara could have said that it was an oil hames, and anything that's an oil hames becomes entirely tumah. This Gemara is the basis for a very famous tshuva of the Chibina Rav, a chumrah, a very big chumrah, that the Chibina Rav says, there's a discussion in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Emor askens the Shelek, could you liquefy snow? And the Gemara and the Rishonim discuss, it's only probably us if you intentionally liquefy it, but if you don't intentionally liquefy it, it just melts by itself, it's fine. He discusses, are you allowed to take water and make it into ice? And he wants to say that water and ice are oichel and a mashkin, and you're not allowed to make a mashka into an oichel. A very, very big chumrah of the Chibina Rav. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach doesn't disagree with the David Misharim with the Chibina Rav. He only says that even the Chibina Rav would only be machmer by water. Because water, there are people that want to drink water, and there are people that want to have ice. So ice and water are two separate entities. He says, but all other beverages, people don't want them as ice. You know, people freeze milk. You don't drink milk frozen. You may want to freeze it to preserve it, but you're not drinking milk frozen. And therefore, he says, to freeze something like milk, even the Chibina Rav would be masking his mutter. It's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasai. It says the Mishnah, Mashloi Mashal Chacham B'Isha. When Chazal look at this woman, and we want to identify which dam is Tamei and which dam is Tahar, the way they look at it, and it's important to point out, that we're going to learn the Mishnah, and we're going to learn the Gemara as best as we can, with the description of the way the Mishnah and the Gemara understand a woman's body, her anatomy. Most doctors and scientists explain that if you looked at a woman's body, it isn't necessarily looked the way the Mishnah explains it. But we have to mekabel Devei Chazal. There's a cheder. A cheder is what we keep on referring to in our shiurim as the makar, the womb, where the blood typically emanates. Vaprizdar, there's a canal from which that blood flows out of the woman's body. Valia, and then there's a small chamber on top of the prizdar, which also could have dam. Dam acheder, the blood that emanates from the womb is tamei. Dam halia, the blood that emanates from the aliyah is tahar. Nimtza b'prizdar. So now you have dam in the prizdar. And you have a question. Where did that dam come from? Did the dam come from the cheder and it's not a problem? Or did it come from the cheder and is a problem? Or did it come from the aliyah and it's not a problem? Sveika tamei says the Mishnah of the halacha is that we treat it as tamei. If it's custom and makar, we have to assume that it came from the makar because that's where most blood in the woman's body emanates from. The aliyah, you know, for a woman to discharge dam from the womb is normal. That's part of the woman's cycle. For a woman to discharge dam from aliyah represents a disease. Hopefully, all Jewish women should be healthy. Says the Gemara. Ram Bashmur, Varitzel Bereid, Rav Yehuda, Tana Nida by Rav Huna. They learned Masechta Nida and Rav Huna's yeshiva. Ashkechina Rav Rav Huna, the Yasvi Kamri. They found Rav Huna, Rav Rav Huna that was learning, and he says, Cheder b'mefnim, the cheder is more towards the inside, the interior of the woman's body. The prize is more towards the exterior of the woman's body. V'liya b'nui yoshtem, and the knee is on top of both of them. V'lu, and there's a small opening, Psuch ben aliyah l'prizdar, that opens up between the aliyah and the prizdar. Nimtza min alulu l'fnim, if it's found toward the inside, so sveika tamei, we have to be machmer because we have to assume that it came from the cheder. Min alulu l'chutz, sveika tar, we could be more lenient because we could assume it came from the aliyah. Asa for amalei lavua. So he went and repeated what he just learned to his father. So he said, Sveika Tamar Amit Lamar? You're saying that it's only Tamei Misafik? For Anan, Shechas Kasim and Amakar Tanan. So what he's saying is, you're treating it l'chumra only because of a suffix. And our Mishnah says that it's treated as vaday tamei, because the last words of the Mishnah were cheskosum and makar. So all the Rishonim asked the obvious question. Look at the wording of the Mishnah. Yes, the last words of the Mishnah were l'fish cheskosum and makar, but there are two words before it. Svekatame. So why is he bothered with those words? So he says, that's the teretz. The Rishonim say this. The Mishnah says, but the Mishnah saying cheskosum and makar, the Mishnah is interpreting what he meant with Sveika Tame. That's not only Tame because of a suffix, it should be treated mamish like Tame because of that chazaka. He didn't add the words cheskosum and makar. So he obviously held they were only being machmer because of a suffix. There's a gevaldige chesam sofer. There are more paskins. What is the halacha if somebody's father is also his Rebbe? So what should he call his father? Abba? Should he call his father father, or should he call his father Rebbe? So the Ramah Paschal, you should call him Rebbe. And the Chassam Sofer says the Raya is from this Gemara. Because look what he says. Also, v'omaloi lavua, he was addressing his father, and he said, omalot mar. He didn't call him Abba, he called him Mar. From here we see that when you speak to your father, who's your Rebbe, you shouldn't call him father, you should call him Rebbe. Omaloi, so respond to Ha'anach Kamin. This is what I meant to say. So he's saying, similar to what we learned, not exactly the same as the Mishnah, but what he's saying is, anything that's levul and lefnim is not just a sofik tamei, it's a vadei tamei. Levul and lechutz is treated like a sofik. Amar Abaye, to which Abaye says, Mashna ma levul lechutz to sveika tamei, the dama shasa, or mecheda asa. We have to be concerned that it came from the cheder. So levul and lefnim, eme istigra, maybe she bent over backwards, Malia Asa, Ella Am Abaya, and therefore Abaya says, E, Bazach Hashashas Azlas, if all of what you're concerned about is just a Chashash, Idiv Idi Safiku, and therefore wherever the blood is found, we should be Machmer, be Safik, V Bazach Hazaka Azlas, and if we're following the Chazaka, Menalofnim is Vade Tomei, because the Chazaka, that all blood that's found there came from the Makar, Menalofchutz, is Vadei Tar, because we're following Chazakas, and the Chazakas that any blood that's found there did not come from the Makar.